Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, April 25th, 2025, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. And this morning, we've been remembering one of our longtime friends here at the station, Lulu Roman, star of the hit TV series Hee Haw, who was there for nearly all 25 years, the first episode in June of 1969, and the last episode in 1992, who passed away this week at the age of 78. In June of 2019, Lulu came to the studio here in Ohio to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the debut of Hee Haw, and we had a tremendous time with her. We're going to remember her with one of her dear friends in just a second, but before we do that, we want to play a clip from that interview, June 28th, 2019, Lulu Roman talking about how she got in to show business.
When this all came together, how did show business come into the life of this little girl who was an orphan at the orphanage?
I had a girlfriend who, I have some very funny stories in the book, some of them are. She wanted to be a dancer. And so she is what led me into, should we say, the show business side of life. It was not really show business at that point. I worked in the Dallas nightclubs for years as a go-go dancer, is what they called it. I was crazy. And in working in the clubs, we had opportunity to meet celebrities. And I had come out in the parking lot. There's a place called Dewey Groom's Longhorn Ballroom. I think it might actually still be there in Dallas. It was the last time I went, and but that's been like 20-some-odd years, I think. But I was had gone down to get my paycheck. This fellow that paid us owned four or five of these different places, and we used to dance at one called Spot 77 out on Denton Highway. And I went to get a paycheck. And my girlfriend ran out and said, "You've got to come over here. Buck Owens is over here." And I said, "Who?" And she said, "Buck Owens." And I said, "Who?" She said, "Buck Owens, Lou, you know, cowboy." I said, "No, I was a hippie kid, honey. I ate LSD and ran around in water fountains. I was not into country music. I knew no country people. I knew no country names." And when she said Buck Owens, I was like, I don't know. But here came this big tall cowboy, and he had on this hat, you know, and he was authentic, you know. He was a cowboy-looking cowboy. And she introduced me to him, you know, and I said, "Hey, cowboy," you know. And he said he had already invited her and a couple of her friends to go to dinner, and he said, "You come along with us." So I went to eat with him that evening, and it just started a great friendship. It really did. And he got to a place, he used to tell me, he said, "You're the funniest thing I have ever seen." And he said, "One of these days, you're going to be a big star, and I'm going to have something to do with it." Boy, I thumped that cowboy hat, and I said, "Keep talking, baby." You know? He just laughed, you know. But Buck was, you know, I think it was probably 3 years after I met him that Hee Haw came up, and they called Buck, and they had a list of the characters that they wanted for this show. You know, they told him, "We're going to do a country and western type laugh," into which he told me that. And he said, "They're going to call it Hee Haw." I said, "Hee what?" And he said, "Hee Haw." I said, "Hee what? Hey, hallelujah, like a donkey." "Oh, okay." Well, the next thing I knew, they flew me to Nashville, stood me up in front of a camera, and held up their cue card, and I read it, and I heard one of them say, "Wow, she's incredible." And I said, "Give me your money." and watch me get better, okay? So they went for it. And back then I was crazy. I used to do things to those people in the booth back there, couldn't even talk about.
The legendary Lulu Roman, gone this week at the age of 78. Joining us via telephone, someone who appeared and performed on over 100 episodes of Hee Haw and is well known for her blue fiddle, a dear friend of Lulu Roman who performed with her right up till the end, Jana J. Jana, how are you?
I'm just great, Scott, and we're missing Lulu terribly, but, you know, it was time for her to transition to be with the Lord. She was having a lot of health problems, and, you know, I felt so sorry for her because she couldn't travel like she wanted to. We had been on the road, and then she got to where she couldn't travel, and you know, it was just painful to know that she was having such difficulties. So I'm at peace about that. I know she is at peace, but it is hard. We've missed her, and even though you know a death like that is coming, is inevitable, it does not make it any easier.
You know, Jana, it's very, very interesting because when the news came this week, a lot of people were surprised because she had always been so active. She had been on tour recently, but these health concerns had come in. When was the last time you spoke to Lulu?
Well, it was a little while. We texted. I did a Hee Haw show review of the Cornfield Friends in January of this year. And was trying to get Lulu to, I knew she couldn't travel, but I was hoping she could do a video for the folks, and which she had done a couple times. And but, you know, this was ongoing, her health issues. The last 2 or 3 years made it pretty difficult. She did some appearances, but it was hard. It was hard. And so anyway, that was just in January that we texted that she couldn't do a video. She didn't want to do a video. And she had, you know, some appearance issues, teeth and that sort of thing. And so anyway, I was just grateful to be in contact. I loved Lulu. She was always supportive of me when I came on the show. And, you know, I treasure that friendship. And Buck's service, when he passed, I was sitting right with Lulu and Sam Lovello, and, you know, she had big shoulders to lean on. I mean, literally, she was a big gal, but then, you know, she had a surgery and got pretty svelte and slim, and she was really a beautiful girl, and she was beautiful outside and inside, and we were going to miss her terribly. And she was naturally hilarious. I mean, you could go to lunch and be in stitches. It was just, she was just a natural comedian. She was funny. And that came through, of course, on the show. They didn't let her sing much on Hee Haw. But she was a good singer. She developed that a little bit later, I think. But she was a really wonderful, heartfelt singer. She did a lot of gospel, a lot of kind of blues, and, you know, she could bring the house down with a good vocal.
You know, Jana, one thing I was so surprised with, when Lulu came to the studio to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Hee Haw's debut back in 2019, she was on air with us that day for 5 hours. She came into...
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, she came into the studio, radio studio, with a bright yellow shirt on, overalls, big orange hair. I mean, for radio, she played the part.
Lulu was the whole package, and she loved being the whole package. I mean, that hair, you know, the red, the more, she said, I can't get it red enough. And she was just fun. And she always looked nice. She always was groomed and clean and so forth. But she had a style that was, I mean, it was made she wanted to make you laugh. She wanted to make you look at her, and oh my gosh, Lulu, she'd put her hair in pigtails sometimes, you know, and do the overall bit, and she was always just interesting and fun. Yeah. I loved that gal.
And Janice, something that was so interesting, when we finally sat down to do the interview that morning, we had a lot of fun, we had a lot of laughs, but this is a woman who had a life, she talked about it. She was brutally honest. She was an orphan. She had had serious drug issues. She almost went to prison at one point. She had a son who died in 2017. In fact, you know, people think that's a joke, but that was really hurtful to her. She didn't like that she was considered the fat girl.
I know, and she made, that's why she had the surgery, the, what is it called, lap, when you have the tummy tuck, and so you don't eat so much, and because she wanted to be, you know, a star in every way, and she wanted to be beautiful. She was beautiful, but she wanted her body to be beautiful as well. And it does hurt if people call you fat. And as an orphan, I'm sure she went through all sorts of trauma. And then, yes, she did not have an easy life. But he has sort of changed that, because then she had money, she had fame, she had acceptance. People loved her. So I think that in itself was a wonderful gift. And she always did credit Buck with that introduction to Hee Haw. So she had a lot going for her. She really did.
You know, Jana, I want to ask you here in a second, what made Lulu so special? She was on the entire run of Hee Haw, all 25 years, but I also want to play this clip before we do that. This is from that interview in 2019. I asked Lulu why she thought Hee Haw was so successful. Here's what she had to say.
The show ran 25 years. That is a run, a great long run. There's no runs like that today on television. Mm-hmm. What do you attribute that to? To this show, that when it came on in the summer, mm-hmm. which is not the greatest time for a show to come on.
It was actually a replacement show. Smothers Brothers, I think it was.
And did not get good reviews.
No, did not. They said we were going to roll downhill fast in that haystack, you know. I think that America sat down in front of their television and an hour later found that they had laughed themselves into a stupor and thought, wow. It was mindless entertainment. You didn't have to think for an hour. All you could do is sit and watch these people be ridiculously silly and laugh. And I think that took America by storm, because it put people in a place for an hour, 1 hour a week. They didn't have to think. They didn't have to worry about problems. They didn't have to worry about money woes or, you know, or children or whatever. They just sat and just were gloriously entertained by a bunch of, you know, I don't know if we weren't stupid, but we certainly acted stupid, you know, funny people. And I just, it's to my thoughts, okay, being able to get a good belly laugh out of something, boy, it sets those little endorphins free, you know, it does. And I think what happened with Hee Haw was it caused unexpected, I don't know if I'd say joy, but laughter and creativity, you know, you'd think would not come from a bunch of country hicks. It was just so different that people were captured by it. They were.
Jana, why was she so funny?
Well, she had a natural sense of humor, and she would laugh at things or roll her eyes. She had expressions. I'm sure growing up in an orphanage, you know, she had to learn how to fend for herself and how to be accepted. And sometimes that's being funny. You know, it makes people laugh and makes people like you. And but she was a natural comedian. And then her lines, when she read the lines, you know, a little chuckle or a roll of the eyes or her delivery, you know, it wasn't a schooled delivery, but she knew how to just wait that little minute or put you in suspense and then, you know, in for the laugh. So she was a great comedian. I think she was a natural born comedian, and she developed it over the years, of course. And her singing too. That was the other thing. The show, when it came on, it was entertaining, and it was that silly slapstick, corny comedy. But we also had great music on that show. And everybody who was anybody in Nashville or in the States wanted to be on Hee Haw because of the exposure. So they mixed the comedy and the great music. And, you know, I think every star that you could possibly name was on Hee Haw. And, you know, from Roy Rogers to all sorts of unusual guests, you know, guests in the pop field, guests, they everybody wanted to be on Hee Haw because it was so widely observed. And it was a family show. You could sit down with your family and enjoy the show. The music, the comedy, there was something for everybody. But it brought families together. And I think that was kind of the magic of Hee Haw.
Jana, what was she like away from the camera? What was she like backstage?
She was kind of the same backstage as she was on camera. She was just she was fun. She was fun to be around. She made you laugh. She wanted to have a good time. And so she was very similar off stage. She did have these health issues that kind of, you know, interrupted that. And for a long time, she had some kind of major health issues. And, you know, earlier in her life, she had the drug issues. So it was not necessarily an easy life, but she made light of it enough to laugh about it and have a good time. And so I would say she was pretty genuine.
Jana, do we know?
Genuine character.
Yeah, absolutely. Jana, do we know what she passed away from?
I don't know exactly, but I just know that she was in declining health for many years. And the last couple of years we were on the road, she had some issues. You know, she did the shows, but she was struggling. So that's why I'm thinking it's you know, it's not a bad thing that she passed because she was not living 100% life. And that beeping as I have another call. I'm in my car. I hope you can hear me.
I can hear you perfectly.
Well. Okay. So, but she had her struggles. She just always overcame them. On stage, she was always delightful. Absolutely delightful, and a wonderful contributor to his show. So we appreciated her on stage, and we appreciated her efforts to, you know, give a good appearance, even if she didn't feel so great.
Yeah.
But as to the exact cause of her death, I think it was just that decline. And so I don't know the particulars.
With the decline in her health, when you got word that she had left us, were you shocked? Were you surprised? What feeling went through you when you had heard that she had died?
Well, I wasn't shocked. I knew it had to be coming. But I was saddened because the world lost this treasure. You know, I'm happy for her to go on and be with the Lord. She made that transition, and she's at peace. So I feel very comfortable with that.
Jana,
it's sad for us.
Yeah. Jana, I want to ask you one more question here, and that's how are you going to remember your friend Lulu Roman? But before I do that, I want to play this 60-second clip, because when she was here in 2019, I asked Lulu, I said, you've lived this horrendous life, which you admit, being an orphan, having drug issues, almost going to prison, losing your son, having these issues with your weight all your life, but you've also had this great success in Hee Haw. How do you look back on your life? This is what Lulu said in 2019.
When you look back at this life, getting to work on a network television series, getting to work with these great artists, legendary people, and, you know, there are ups and there are downs. We talked about some of the downs, being born an orphan, going through some of the drug issues. How do you look back on the life as a whole? How would you describe it?
You know, even with all the things that I've been through, the word that comes to my mind is gift. It's all been a gift from God. It has. I can't explain it any other way. That's, you know. Realizing that someone loves me so much that they've just given me more than I could ever deserve.
Jana, how are you going to remember your friend Lulu Roman?
Well, I will remember her as a wonderful talent, a wonderful friend, a wonderful Christian. She was exemplary in so many ways, and she overcame so much that she's an example for everyone. And she was a good friend to America. She was a good friend to your family when you're watching the show. You know, people related to Lulu. They loved Lulu, and she poured forth that love. So I'll remember her as a really great friend and a really great contributor to American families.
The guest today has been Jana Jay, co-star on Hee Haw of Lulu Roman, the lady with the blue fiddle. Jana, thank you so much for joining us to remember Lulu. Can't thank you enough, and stay well, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much, Scott. We will love Lulu in memories.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And she'll be in reruns forever. And that day, as I said, in 2019, June the 28th, that she was here for 5 hours, there are things that happened that day I'll never be able to talk about. But when I think about off-air, but when I think about them, I still laugh quite a bit. Now, going from the very kind of maudlin, sad neck of the woods, you know, remembering our friend Lulu, we now have been joined by somebody in the studio. And, you know, this is always trouble. I know it's always going to be trouble as soon as I open up the microphone. Maybe not today. Well, you know, shake your head all you want. But I feel there's always trouble when you come in. But we're going to try to make the best of it. Abby has joined us here today. Abby, how you doing?
Hi, Scott. Good.
It's been a while.
Quite the introduction.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Trouble?
Not trouble. I feel that there's going to be trouble. I didn't say you were trouble. You just seem to be sometimes a little more amped up than a normal person should be.
It's because you talk to me just like this.
Now, see, what was wrong with that? Matt, come on in here.
It's like poking the bear, Matt.
That was an intro.
It was just kind of, I mean,
when everybody tells you, don't be mad, don't get upset, like in your, are you okay? I'm fine.
You seem it.
See?
See
that's
right
the
there.
Thing. Like, it's
see, but when
not-
you answer like that, that's the problem. Like, fine. I'm fine. Get off my back.
I don't do that. It's like the constant. I'm just saying, for example, I'm going to do that to people. You know.
All right. Well, let's get right into the problem here that we've been having as of late. There's always something.
I didn't know there was a problem.
Oh, there always is.
Oh, geez.
Well, you know there is, because here's what happened.
I do?
Well, you certainly do. You're a part of it. Here's what happened.
Great.
No, because there's somebody who you knew. Isaiah.
Yes.
Okay. So you
knew him. I still know him.
Well, yeah, he hasn't left us yet.
Right.
When he does, we'll do a show. But the point is he's still with us. And one day he realized that we knew each other.
Okay.
So he asked me, oh, you know Abby? And I said, oh, yeah, I certainly do. And he says, oh, she's great. And I said, oh, okay. I guess that's one take on it. And he says, well, how do you know her? And I said, well, I've known her for a while, you know, and that. And he said, well, what do you think? And I told him the truth. And this seemed to bother you. You got into your colorful vernacular that day.
Because you said you had to tell Isaiah the truth. Like, you said
he I certainly did.
Like, oh, I had to tell him the truth about you. Well, that's terrible.
That I told the truth?
No, he does know the truth. Why would you think he doesn't know the truth?
He knows his truth. He doesn't know this side of you, I'm sure.
Well, he also, yeah, like also he doesn't poke me like this all the time or give me a hard time. He's just the sweetest. Isaiah is the sweetest.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. But I like Isaiah. We get along fine. We're buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good kid.
He comes to me for life advice.
I will talk to him about that.
Okay, well, right there. Yeah. See, that was nasty.
That wasn't nasty.
That was nasty. No, that was a shot. No. See, you think you don't give shots, but you just gave one there.
It was a minor blow.
Yeah, I set you up for it, but you went on in on it.
You did.
I set you up, but you went in. See, you take the bait as well.
But I don't know that you just create your own bait. There's no, like, nobody baits you. You just go in.
No, I think your appearance in and of itself is the bait.
Matt.
Were you appearance?
Right. Who picks on someone's appearance?
No, not your appearance physically. Your appearance that you're here, and I can tell, you know, as soon as I say hello, it's already, you don't like the introduction I give you. Who complains about the introduction I give them?
You call me trouble right away. That's not a way to greet your guest who hasn't been here for a while.
Well, this is not like the first time we've met.
Well, no.
I mean, I know what's coming.
All right. Well, what's up with Isaiah? He's a good kid.
He's a good kid. I like him.
Yeah.
And so, but you don't like that I have told the truth about you to him, that I've shed some light on the many facets of your personality.
I need to get in touch with him. I need to see what was said. That's what I need to do.
No, I'm just saying, what is wrong with me saying what my reality is? He might have a different reality.
He definitely does.
Okay, then there you go. You understand that you treat me poorly. You treat him better.
Oh, my God.
But
that's ridiculous.
What's wrong with saying that?
I don't treat you poorly. That's crazy. That's crazy talk.
Well, I think it... I don't know. It's day-to-day. It's a day-to-day proposition some days.
Okay. I mean, there are definitely days where I've had enough of your stuff.
Stuff.
And, like, I just...
See, it about slipped there. It about slipped there.
Y'all say it. I'd be like, all right, I've had enough.
Well, see, like, what stuff are you referring to?
Oh, goodness. You know what... Like, you can just... You poke at nothing all the time.
I think I've said very nice things about you recently.
It's been a good week with you.
It's been a good week.
Yeah,
we got one good weekend.
It's been a good weekend.
6 years, yeah. One good week. One good week.
No, it comes in spurts. It comes and goes.
No, it's just I think sometimes you get frustrated by things that really should not frustrate you.
Like your mouth?
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I rest my case. There you go.
Yeah.
See? But are you like this with everybody? No, because you do that little phony thing you do, like people like Isaiah. Oh, how are you? It's good to see you.
I'm so
la-di-da. And I certainly don't get any of that stuff. I don't get any of that stuff my way.
You don't greet me like that either. I greet him like that because I'm genuinely excited to see him.
So you're not genuinely excited to see me?
Yes, but when I don't see him as often as what I see you. Not anymore. Obviously, I don't see you enough anymore. But.
See, I don't see you enough. That's nice.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
It's hard to say that.
It's hard to say that?
No, it's hard to say. Like, when I greet you, I don't just, oh, Scott, it's so good to see you. If I hadn't seen you for a while and, like, I ran into you somewhere, I would greet you like that.
I don't think so, but let's pretend like you would do that.
That's
I don't really believe you would.
I would.
I don't think you would.
In Abby's defense, I have run into her at the grocery store, and that's pretty much how she greets me.
Well, that's you.
See
everybody but me. And I don't have a grievance?
That's not true. Like, that's not true. You're just giving me...
You just said you get it. Isaiah apparently gets it. Who doesn't get it? I don't get it.
I'm genuinely excited when I see Matt. Like, he can probably say, like, oh, hey.
How's it going?
Yeah.
And here I've known you for a long time. We've spent a lot of time together. We talk quite a bit, and yet I don't get the happy greeting.
Let's just go cold turkey. We won't talk at all for like a couple of weeks, and then I'll see you, and I'll be like, oh, Scott, hi.
That has to happen.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that'll solve it.
You think that'll do it?
Maybe.
Let's go cold turkey. I don't think you could survive a couple weeks.
Okay.
Oh, like a roll of the eye. Like, well, what? Listen,
my survival is not based on my conversation with you.
I think it is.
You think it is?
I truly think it is. I think you don't know that it is, but I think it is. I think it's something you're not really taking into account.
You know, it might be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, we were having a conversation recently where I said, you always want some kind of information. And I said, listen, you got too much going on. And now, see, you've proved it now. Checkmate.
Because you're going to bring this up. There's no checkmate. Like,
it is because you just said you don't have time. Let's go cold turkey. Did she not just say that, Matt? Let's just get right to the heart. What did she just say to me? She said, let's go cold turkey. My survival is not dependent on talking to you. And then she rolled her eyes. Did she not do that?
I did not see her roll her eyes.
Well,
it was here. It was here.
Because you gave me.
I heard those words, though.
Right.
You did hear the words.
You gave me a certain amount of information, and then I was like, oh, okay. So I, like, you know, sort of put it together a little bit, and then you just, like, no, you have too much to worry about.
And like, then I have said, everything's fine. It's fine. We're fine.
Right.
So, but then you just keep.
I haven't. I've left it alone.
For about 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
Till tomorrow, maybe.
Till tomorrow. So, this is like what it's like with you. This is what it's like. No, but do you feel the need? Because this is what I said to you. Are you like this with everybody? Do you need to know everything about everybody?
Well, no.
You said you did. Do you even know what you say?
I didn't say.
Are you in some kind of coma most of days?
You gave me a whole thing, and you're like, are you like this with everybody? And it was like a yes.
You said yes.
But I know it was another part of the question, and that's what I was responding to. There was more to that. There was like
okay, well, if you're like that with everybody, my response was, don't worry about me. I got it. It sounds like you got a lot on your plate.
That wasn't the answer. That's what I said. No, I don't. It's fine. I said that. Like in the same conversation.
Yeah, but see, that it sounds disingenuous at that point.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying, Matt? Like if somebody says to you, let's say how you're doing that day. How you doing?
Okay.
And I say, well, you know, it's not so great today. Well, why? And I say, you know what? Don't worry about it. Are you like this with everybody? You don't need to know everything. And you say, I am like this with everybody. I figure you're like this with a lot of people. So I at that point, my response, I feel like disingenuous. I feel like, well, this is nothing different than anybody else.
Right. That's because you took it out of context. That's not what I was saying. I was like, yes, I'm like this with everybody. No, but if Matt said to me, like, yeah, it's not so good today, I would genuinely say, like, oh, really? What's wrong? Like, I would actually care.
With everybody.
It's not okay to ask why everybody's like.
No, no, it's fine.
Like,
it's fine.
No, like, are you actually okay? And if I was like, yeah, let's not talk about it, I'd be like, okay.
Well, but whatever. That's not what happened. When I said, listen, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. Then you just kept on.
He's so difficult. Like no. So difficult.
Not really.
Actually.
No truth. There's a lot of truth over here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In any event, see, this is. Do you know about the salt coating thing?
Oh, the salt coating
no.
thing.
Oh, okay, here's what it is. Yeah, this is what happened. This is what I do with her that she doesn't like.
I didn't know.
There's a new term now called salt coating. Now, it's the opposite of sugar coating. And the question is, should you be brutally honest with your friends or acquaintances when... see, the eyes got squinty there again. Or should you sugarcoat things to them?
No, I definitely think there's friends that you're brutally honest with. I don't think that that's a bad thing. But see, if I don't know you well enough, I'm not going to take it upon myself to be brutally honest.
See, but they don't like it when you are brutally honest. You say you want salt coating, but you don't. Because when I salt coat you, this is the attitude I get.
No, you don't ever say it like you don't say it genuinely. You say it to like straight up knock me. It's not like
that's not true.
That's true. That is true.
Straight up knock
yes.
you.
Yes.
No, I would never knock you.
Yeah, you do. That you have.
I do. I yes. do. When?
And that's when whenever you feel like it, I think.
Okay. Well, that's not
random
very nice.
Random days when you wake up. I don't know what it is, how you wake
I just,
up.
Okay, days. I wake up some yeah. days and I say, when I see her, talk to her, I'm going to knock her.
Yeah, got something to say.
No, I think I salt coat with you. I think there's a tendency for people, just in general, to be nice to people and say the things that are nice because people want to be loved. But some people don't care about that stuff and they want to be... maybe the villain, you know? You need a good villain in the story. So I prefer to be that. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth.
I think that's good, yeah.
There you go.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
I think you do.
No, I don't. I don't think it's a bad thing. But you don't say it in like a genuinely like, hey, like I need to tell you this way. You like, just, you know, aren't like... genuinely saying there's something wrong. Like, you, it's different if you're saying, like, this is what I see that could be done differently, and then you're just like,
Oh, I've told you how you could fix yourself.
No, you haven't.
I certainly have told you how you could work on yourself.
Okay. I don't think you have.
I have.
You're always like, just figure it out. You say some weird riddle with it, and then like...
I'm the Riddler.
He does.
Riddler.
He does. It's always like, I once had this friend that little... Like, no, I don't need to hear the story. Just tell me what it is.
Sometimes you...
Like serving pizza on a trash can lid.
Oh, that's true. That's one of my favorite stories.
Exactly. This is the story I hear.
That's a metaphor. You don't understand that?
But you tell the whole story with it. I get the metaphor, yes. But
you don't understand how that applies to your life?
Oh, Lord. Let's just keep going.
You don't? Really?
Anyway, what's next? Is there more terms we're getting at?
See, you know what's interesting? I have not told that story to her, and it's had to have been years, and she still remembers it. So that, to me, proves that that got through. Right or wrong, Matt?
I would guess, yeah. She remembers it.
That she remembers it. It got through.
I listen to the things that you say.
And obviously that one popped in, because that is a very true statement.
Okay.
Anyway, it is true about you, and I don't know why you can't fix it. Oh, by the way, I got you a gift. I certainly did. Yes, I'm a nice person.
Sounds happy. My favorite eggs!
See?
What?
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't even buy myself any of these this year because I was like, yeah... Because I'll eat this entire bag probably, like, on my way home today.
Like, she's like that. I've seen this happen. It's very rough.
These are my most favorite things. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
That's a great gift. I love those. Thank you.
See? And when I first said, I have a gift for you, all I got was static.
I know. I don't receive gifts well.
You don't do that. You don't take compliments well.
I don't.
And you don't receive gifts well. So why would I do it? That's why I don't give you compliments. That's why you get this.
Okay.
You seem to be okay with this. But no, you're not okay with that either.
Salt coating?
Yeah.
I'm good with salt coating when it's genuine. It's when you just like say things that are like, you know, kind of like a poke more than just like a genuinely.
Let's get into your psyche.
Oh, no, why? It's not. Can we just keep going?
No. This is a good topic.
It's great.
Why do you think that you can't take compliments well? Because I noticed that from you day one. Like, I can insult you. I'm not going to deny it. I have. It's rare, but I have. Now, that, you'll come back and we can have fun with that. It's, you know, like volleyball. Yeah. But when I say something nice to you, you just can't avoid it. You're like, that's not my thing.
Like, I'll say thank you. Like, I'm not... Like,
yeah, but you're just... You don't seem to understand that that's a compliment. I'm trying to be nice. Just let it go.
Well, what am I supposed to... I do. I say thank you.
Yeah, but then don't go into this whole, like, realm of I don't know, and that's not my, and this is what, and just... It's a compliment. Just take it.
I do. I say thank you.
I notice things from time to time.
I know.
Thank you. But do you think that's something from your childhood? Is that something blowing up from childhood? You can't take a compliment?
I had a pretty decent childhood. I don't know.
Did you not get a lot of compliments?
I was the middle child, so maybe not.
Is a middle child syndrome. You're a middle child.
Yeah, yeah.
And your mom always tells me that you've got middle child syndrome.
She doesn't know what she's talking about. That lady's crazy.
It's funny. My mom would say the same thing.
Yeah. See, there you go. Middle child syndrome.
Yeah. I think for me, like, I was the easy one, honestly. Like, you know, my sister was the first one. She did her thing. And, like, I was just kind of, like, flew under the radar because I was just, like, okay. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's about how it was. I mean, you know.
Why do your parents...
Attention was attributed between my brother and my sister. And I was like, you know, I'm this is fine. Yeah.
But why do your parents realize you have middle child syndrome? They know. And I know what they're talking about. I mean, I haven't talked to your mom about it. Next time I see her, I'll talk to her about this. But with your mom, she has said it, and I know exactly what she's saying when she says it. Now, her and I can both spot these traits, but you say no. Oh. That's part of the syndrome.
It's because if you look into it, there's no evidence that middle child syndrome exists.
Right. It's just a thing.
Case in point, right here. Exhibit A, Exhibit B.
It doesn't exist.
Like, if I had to say what it was, it would be like the child who's kind of just looked over all the time. Like, because you are...
Right, so you don't understand. Nobody taught you how to take a compliment, and you don't take negatives very well either because you feel like you've never measured up. You're not the oldest child, so you don't take the knocking very well, but you don't take the compliments very well because that usually goes to the youngest child because that's the last one. So you don't know how to take that. You just don't know how to survive in society as a normal, productive person.
I don't think it's that.
Well, that's how I diagnose it.
I'm pretty productive, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I know a lot of people.
And trying to be... people pleaser. That's also part of it.
I mean, I'm probably definitely guilty of being a people pleaser.
Right.
But that's, I don't know that that's a middle child syndrome type thing.
Oh, no, I'm definitely not a people pleaser.
I think you go out of your way to help people you like.
To help people, yes, but I'm not, that's not people pleasing.
See, I don't go out of my way.
That's being, like, helpful.
Yeah, oh. That's being helpful.
Well, see, I don't do that, because I figure people should be able to survive on their own.
See, that's not.
They don't need my help.
Oh, my gosh.
I've done all I can do.
Well, I mean, like, they could do it on their own, but, like, if I'm not doing anything, what else am I doing?
Exactly. Just go help somebody. Just make somebody's life easier if you can. Why not?
But no, like, I mean, like, I've told the story on here about my
not Jiminy Cricket.
My friend who got engaged to the dude who she'd been with for, like, a year and a half. And I told her that was a bad decision.
But you don't, she doesn't want to hear that.
No, she was very much not happy when I told her it was a bad decision.
Exactly.
I was like, bad decision making.
Yeah, but they don't want to hear
that.
That's salt coating. Well, have you ever salt coat? Well, you salt coat with me all the time. But anybody else?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, there's definitely friends that I have that I, you know, have said, like, yeah, I don't know about that.
But do you ever, but you're not receptive to that.
I am receptive to that when it's a genuinely, like, genuine concern or genuine, like, something about
every let me just tell you right now, every concern I have is genuine.
But you, like, dance around it and say random things, and then I don't know what you're talking about. That's how it is. And then you say stuff, like, it's just metaphor.
Because I know, just like Matt's situation, if I came right out and said it, then you would be, you know, you'd be nasty about it because people don't really want the truth. So I try to let them find their own way.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it does because, as you said, you told her the truth. Bam. And she did not like it.
Well, yeah.
So what I try to do is I know what the truth is.
I mean, she knew what was coming. Like, I've been friends with this girl since
middle
school.
Then why ask?
Obviously, she wanted I guess she wanted me to be happy for her, but I mean, I mean, like, you know, I did that. I was like, you know, I said congratulations, and then I let her know that it was a bad decision. But
right. I'm happy if you're happy, but you should probably think about these things.
Yeah.
See, but if you think you're making the right decision, then you don't care what somebody else has to say. That's what I said. There's always a level of denial in people's mind, because if you think it's right, it no longer matters what I think. You might hear me say it, but it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean I can't.
Until it's over, until the problem arises, then they have to come back and they have to go, well, you know, you were right about that.
Well, that's happened before with the same girl. Never marriage problems, but, you know, I was like, that's not good. And then she was like, no. And then it ended up not being good.
Say I told you so a lot?
No, you don't say I told you so. That's rude. But you just
would definitely say that.
No, yeah, I mean,
he would definitely say that.
So pretty much how the conversation will go. They'll be like, how'd that work out for you?
Right, right.
Listen, if you have a bad track record, all I'm saying is you cannot expect people to be like, okay, the first time you come by a donut and you say, I like that donut. Okay, I gotcha. You like that donut. But on your third, fourth, fifth donut, you know, I'm starting to say, you know, I don't believe this as much
these
anymore.
These are the exact, like, like analogy, metaphor, whatever. This is exactly what I'm talking about right here.
I don't think donuts apply.
Right. Are we actually talking about donuts?
Like, I think we're actually talking about donuts.
Yeah.
Well, no, because we're talking about, clearly, relationships here. But I don't feel the need to throw that in people's face because when I've done that in the past, they don't tend to like that.
See, because donuts are different.
Right,
because
you compare them to donuts. That's why we all say, okay.
Okay, let's go back then. When you are in several relationships, the first one, I'm all in with you. That's the love of your life? Got it. Yeah. Gotcha. I'm with you. When I meet the second love of your life, okay, I'll give you a mulligan. Once we're up to the third love of your life, how long is your life and how are we dividing this up? I mean, is this what are we in period pieces? I can't be as happy. And when you get onto the fifth or fourth love of your life, then we're really in trouble because I think now you're just full of crap.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think on your third marriage, I'm starting to have doubts.
I think you get bored at home. I think maybe you need to take up crocheting instead of being around people because you're wrecking people's lives. Stop this. Stop. I think you need some kind of layover. I think you need some kind of cooling off period. Stop. You know, like 30 days before you get a marriage license. Really think this thing through.
Maybe.
There you go. That's all I'm saying.
I think that you should have to, like, I think there should be, like, a year holding period before you're allowed to get married.
I think you should
get engaged, and then there's, like, a mandatory year you have to wait
before you live together for a year.
But you need to know people for, like, 5 years. You don't really
Oh, yes. 5 years. Good time.
You don't really get the whole thing for about 5 years. And then it takes, like, a year for, like, 6 years before you even really start to go, you know, this is kind of, you know? It does. Oh, trust me, I've been around those people.
You know, there's like, what is it called? Like the 7 year slump or whatever?
There is a 7 year slump. Yeah. A 7 year itch. There's that too. That's why people do what they want now. But I don't judge that. You don't take that as me judging. That's just me saying, listen, you apparently have flawed choicing skills.
Yeah, right. That's pretty judgy.
No, that's more of a, here's what I see in your life. Here's what I see is going on in your life, and you might want to fix this.
I mean, I've seen some people with some pretty bad choosing skills in my life.
But people don't want to hear that.
Well, no.
Maybe they don't need it pointed out to them. Maybe they kind of already know.
Well, they're obviously they're not doing anything about it.
They're not doing anything about it. You cannot say, if you keep repeating, what is the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. You can't prove to me that you know any different until you do different.
Mm. All right.
Like, again, if you go to the donut shop and you get a donut the first day and you say, I like this donut, you have to come in on the fourth day and say, you know what? Your donuts stink. And I say, now I'm getting the honest opinion. You're not Pavlov's dog anymore. I understand now that you're giving me a different opinion.
Okay.
See, you didn't like that, but see, but
I don't. It doesn't bother me. Like, it's the analogies, like I said, you always make. Like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You just, like, supported my point from earlier.
But what's wrong with that? Because I will say that I have made bad choices in life.
I don't know. I don't compare your bad choices to donuts, though.
Well, sometimes I do.
That's good.
Because they certainly had holes in places. There were just big holes in certain places.
Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah. God bless their hearts, though. They were lovely people. I still try to stay in touch, you know.
Do you?
No, not really. But okay. I thought for the purposes of this program, I would say that I do try to stay in touch. I think staying in touch with them at this point is more just trouble.
I mean, I think that it's one of those things, like, I don't know why you would stay in touch with them, but, like, if you see them out and about, you know, you go,
I would say hello.
How are you doing?
I certainly would. I would say, how have you been?
Good.
I don't think...
You have a good old, like,
whatever.
5-minute conversation, and you don't see them again for another 5 years.
Yeah, that's the type of relationship you want. That's really what you want out of somebody. That's a nice time. Right?
Catch up over about 5 minutes, got a lot to talk about, and then you move on.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's good. Can you stay a little longer?
Maybe.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're just going to calm down a little.
Depends on how brutal this break is.
No, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful day. It's a getaway Friday, last Friday in April. It's 4:25:25. We're coming back in 10 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
But you're quite right.
To the star of Soap and Benson, Robert Guillaume.
When you first got that podcast,